Right before the holidays, I lost over 15 pounds, but I think I'm almost certain I gained it all back. Between the cookies, the candy, and all the food, you know, traveling and staying with other people. So. But years ago, I made a resolution to make no resolutions. So, you know, that's not going to help me any. I just want to remind you, if one of these poinsettias are yours, you can take them home. Because, you know, Liv and I don't water them. Oh, you did? I watered them once too, Liva. So, but after, we were just letting you know that we won't water them again. So, something else that I wanted to say to you too, some people, you know, saw my name in the bulletin under prayer request. It's not serious. I had that sinus infection and ear infection, and this ear never cleared up. And so I can't hear you. I've lost all my hearing in this ear, and there's fluid on the inner ear, so Tuesday I will be going to the doctor, and hopefully they'll be able to do something, and eventually maybe put a tube in and drain it. So that's what the prayer is about. I don't you think that, you know, I've got some rare disease and I'm going to give it to you or something like that. That's what that's about. And I would appreciate your prayers, because it's very difficult being in meetings and Sunday school, and I can't hear anything. And I know that the ad council loved it. I mean, when they met, I couldn't hear them talking about me. Right in front of me. I mean, you know, it was, you know, not way out of my back. It was right in front of me, and it was cool. I mean, they really loved it. They thought it was great. And then afterwards, I told them, I'm fake, and I heard everything you said, but I really didn't. Do you know we're going to study in the month of January a lot about spiritual warfare? And so you're going to see where this is going when we have our scripture to read at this time. So let's stand as we read Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4, the beginning of when Jesus was tempted by Satan. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I entitled the series that we'll be doing through January, all except for one Sunday, Showdown at Devil's Ranch. The devil thought he could have a showdown, he could have a duel with Jesus. And he thought he could win. And he still thinks that. When he looks into your life, he still wants to destroy you. The Bible is very clear about that. That he's come to kill and to steal, the Bible tells us. And that's your life. In any way that he can. He wants to take the joy out of your life. He wants to take the happiness out of your life. He wants to take the meaning and the purpose out of your life. And so, in a sense, Satan was challenging Jesus to a duel. Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but Missouri was well known for its duels back in its day. There used to be an island in the Mississippi River right between East St. Louis, Illinois, which is a very violent city even to this day. It's really a spiritual stronghold. And St. Louis, and it was called Bloody Island. And you can read about it. There were many duels by important men that took place on this island. The river's changed through the years, and now it's actually just a part of East St. Louis, and they still call it the island. And if you know anything about East St. Louis, it's probably the most violent city in the United States per capita for its size. It looks like a war zone if you've ever been there. And I believe that's a spiritual stronghold that goes way back. So we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare today, but I don't want you to think that there's a demon behind every rock. I don't want us to be magnifying and glorifying Satan and the devil and his power, but we need to be aware of his presence and his power. And that's what this series is going to be about. Jesus said that he came to destroy the works of the devil. And the Bible clearly states that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So he has power. He's in our atmosphere. He's in this realm. You remember he got cast down to earth. God's cast him down to earth. And then he, from that point, the scripture tells us that he's called the God of this age and the God of this world. So that's why we see so many bad things happening here on earth. and in our world, it's because the god of this world is Satan, the devil. Now, if you're taking notes today, the first thing we're going to talk about is this. When facing your enemy in a duel, and that would be for us the enemy of our soul, the devil, it would be crucial that you are acquainted and trained in the use of weapons at hand. In other words, know what the devil's number one tools are and his weapons. Now, the devil's called a tempter, but his basic work is to camouflage whatever he does so that people will not know it, that it is he that is doing it. He even makes himself into an angel of light, the Bible says. And the Bible calls him the father of lies. He's really good at lying. He's able to make the truth sound like a lie, and a lie sound like the truth. Do you hear? You know what I'm saying? So sometimes people that never come to know Jesus Christ is because they're believing a lie about the truth. And it's the same way around for us who are already followers of Jesus Christ. He lies to us, and it sounds like the truth. 2 Corinthians, Paul said this, that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to be in tune with what his weapons are and how he's going to try to bring us down, how he's going to try to bring down his church. He's an enemy of God, and he's an enemy of the church. And I want us to start off this new year ready to be a prayer warrior, ready to be those who are going to stand up against the works of darkness and to spread the light of Jesus Christ into this dark world. Let 2017 be a year where the church comes alive, not just here at Hammer Memorial, but across the United States and across the world, where we begin to see what the enemy is doing and to push him back. So that when the scripture says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, we can raise a standard up against him. So I hope that you'll be able to raise your standard up against him. Now Watchman Nee, a great author and a great Christian speaker, said this, talking about Satan. He said, all that he has ever done, he has never willingly and openly acknowledged anything as his work. If he were to make a public report of his works, probably nobody would want them. Everyone would probably resist them. For this reason, he always disguises his work in a multitude of ways. He stays in the background. He stays in the shadows. 1 Peter chapter 5 says this, and it's a good command for us to look at and for us to apply to our lives. It says this, be sober, be watchful. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Notice it doesn't say standing firm in your faith, because our faith is weak. Standing firm in the faith that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that Jesus Christ is the Lord, standing firm in the faith that the whole church stands on. My faith sometimes is pretty weak. I don't know about you. Have you had some times where your faith has been very weak? So we can't stand on our faith. We have to stand on the fact of God's Word, the faith. Well, let's move on. You notice the story of when Jesus is in the desert. The interesting fact of the story is that it says this, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. What? God led Jesus into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. It was God's plan for Jesus to be tempted by the devil. Why? To show us how to resist the devil. And how did Jesus resist the devil? We read it earlier. By quoting the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. That's our number one weapon against the enemy of your soul and my soul. And Jesus was also led into the desert by the Spirit so that he could show us how tricky Satan is and how manipulative he is, and to show us Satan's camouflage. He's very good at camouflage. In other words, just think all the way back in the Garden of Eden. He said to Eve, oh, God doesn't want you to eat of that tree because then you will know as much as he does. And he tricked her by lying to her, right? He camouflaged himself by looking like, Eve, I'm really here to help you out. And it ended up backfiring on him. But he even did that with Jesus. He said to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. You haven't eaten in 40 days. He likes to get us when we're down and when we're weak. That's when he'll come in like a flood. And he thought he had Jesus because Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. And if you truly are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. But Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He overcame the enemy by quoting the word of God. Jesus quoted scripture. And you know, the enemy will do the same thing to you. He will say, if you're a child of God, and then just fill in the blank. You shouldn't be worrying. You shouldn't be, you this, that, and the other thing. Let's go on to number two. Satan's special field of work is in our mind or thought life. Oftentimes we're bombarded with speculations or imaginations which are opposite to the obedience of Christ. Satan has his own CIA, his Central Intelligence Agency. And he has fallen angels known as demons that are his agents. He has his own secret service. He has an intelligent network of these sinful angels, which are known as demons. And they do have an influence in this world that is around us today. Now he will, Satan, inject a thought and an imagination which appears to be your own. And under this deception, you accept it and use it as if it were yours, though in actuality it is his thought. Let me give you an example that's sort of, that most of us could relate to. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Westboro Baptist Church. I know it says Baptist Church, but it's not really a Baptist church, it's a cult. How many of you have heard of Westboro Baptist Church? Quite a few of you, okay. It's a cult. And whenever a soldier would die, they would go to the funeral. And they'd go all across the country, and they would protest it. And they say, this is God's judgment. And they say, this is God's judgment because you all were living in sin. And how did that make the parents feel of that soldier that was killed? Or if there was a tornado that hit, they would come and say, this is God's judgment on you because of homosexuality that has filled our country. And to them, they feel that they're getting all this from God. But really, their message of hate is not coming from God. It's coming from the God of this world, the God of this age, who is Satan himself. And they're teaching doctrines of demons by getting people to think that everything that bad happens to you is God's judgment. Guess what? Bad things happen to good people. We live in a fallen world, and just bad things happen because we live in a fallen world. So this is one example. He may start to speak to you and say things like, you're a bad parent, and you begin to believe it. You know, none of us are perfect, that's for sure. We all make mistakes as parents. But he would try to get you to believe and grind it in your head that you're a bad person, and you deserve the bad things that are happening to you. I remember there's one thought that has been injected in my mind was anybody that comes to the church needing help, I felt as they were users, abusers, and lazy bums. Because there were some places that I had served where we had a constant flow of people that would show up at the church and they needed help, supposedly with gasoline for their car, for food, and so on and so forth. And most of the time, I was taken. They found out it was a scam because they would go into every church in the area. And so I started to be cynical anytime anybody was in need. Have you ever been in that boat? And so this one family came to me and they were homeless and they were living in their van and they just asked if they could have some gas money. Maybe $25 or so. Because their van was running low on gas and you know it was cold. And my first thought is, oh no. Another one of these kind of people. Going to be taken again. But as I listened to their story, it was genuine. And they were so thankful when I gave them the $25. And I wanted to do more for them, but couldn't find them after that. And you see, the enemy would get us to think wrong things and think that it's coming from God. I thought I was being a good pastor, being a good Christian, by protecting the church from these users and abusers. That when someone came along that really had a need, I wasn't willing to help them. You see what I'm saying? How Satan can be so tricky. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5 said this. Listen to this. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We have to work at it every day on bringing every one of our thoughts into captivity, into obedience to Christ. Because if we don't, then the enemy can subject some thoughts in our heads that are contrary to what God would want us to be thinking. Many times, instead of having our eyes on the Lord, they're on our thoughts. Have you ever noticed that in your life? Someone wrote this: "You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from making a nest in your hair." There was a believer who thought of cutting his throat every time he would shave. It was just a weird thought. For years he shaved, but all of a sudden he'd have this thought as he was shaving with a straight-edge razor to cut his throat. And finally, he was so bombarded with this that he went to another Christian and he asked them to pray for him because he was having these thoughts. And eventually those thoughts went away. Those thoughts weren't coming from him. Those thoughts were coming from, sometimes they could come from a chemical imbalance in our body. But this thought was coming from another source. It was coming from the prince of the power of the air, the God of this age, the God of this world. There was a teen girl in one of the churches that we served. She was in our youth group, and she became very suicidal. And some really strange things happened. Now, like I said, I don't want you to think that there's a demon behind every rock. I just want us to be aware of the spiritual warfare that's going on around us. But there was a demonic activity that was happening in her house. Objects were flying through her bedroom and through other parts of the house. Now, our youth pastor went over to her house, and by request of the mother, who didn't come to church, who, to my knowledge, wasn't even a believer, but these strange occurrences were happening in her house. And the youth pastor got there, and she started to see all these occult symbols, pentagrams, all other kinds of things, books on black magic, all kinds of stuff. So she said, "You need to get rid of all these occult items," she said to the mother. So they got rid of the pentagrams, the Ouija board, and all these different things. And still, nothing happened. The girl still was suicidal, very depressed. The girl started cutting herself. It actually got worse. Finally, the youth pastor went over and said, "We need to pray. We need to command this to go in Jesus' name." And she went over and she prayed with him, and she commanded it, the spirit, to go in the name of Jesus. And she pleaded the blood of Jesus Christ on this girl's room and the whole house. And then she declared that she wouldn't commit suicide. She got the girl to speak those words also and declare that she wouldn't commit suicide. In other words, she had Satan face on. She didn't run away from it, but just took Satan face on, head on. And the girl finally was delivered. And Bonnie remembers this girl, remember how peace she was at. And it was a glorious deliverance. Now, you don't see that a lot, but it can happen, and we need to be aware of that. You should not turn your back on Satan when he begins to tempt you, or he begins to attack you, for this will mean that you are running away instead of him running away from you. You should face him and let him turn his back on you. And if you're facing his back, it means he's running. But if you turn your back from facing him, you're defeated. Philippians 4:8 says this: "Think on these things. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Think on these things. So when you start having bad thoughts, and I don't even know, some people here today could be having, once in a while, suicidal thoughts. It could be a chemical imbalance in your body, or it could be a demonic attack. You need to take it on and face Satan head on and start thinking on whatever things are right, pure, lovely, and you need to be praying in the name of Jesus, pleading the blood of Jesus over yourself. When you're in a duel and you're in a gunfight with the enemy, remember Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 says this. They, talking about believers, which would be you and me, they overcame him, talking about Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, and the word of their testimony. We all have a testimony here today, and we need to remind Satan that he has lost, and that he's tried to defeat us before, and he's tried to bring us down before, and he didn't succeed. And he won't again, because we have the Word of God, we have the power of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. And we have the blood of Jesus Christ, which has defeated him. Number three, Satan works on the human body sometimes. Illnesses are Satan's attack. I was beginning to think this ear thing with me was, because it's hard for me to hear my wife, and it's hard for me to hear anybody when they're talking. And it's hard when I'm preaching because I'm like, it's reverberating in my head. But I know that it's not. You can discern whether it's from the enemy or not. And I wouldn't say it's a common occurrence, but it can happen. You remember in Scripture, Peter's mother-in-law had a fever, and Jesus rebuked the fever. And a fever is a symptom. You can only rebuke a personality. You can't rebuke a chair. You can't rebuke a rock. But this fever was different. It had a personality. And Jesus took it head on and rebuked this personality and the spirit, and the mother-in-law's fever went away right away. You might remember the story in the Scripture where a father brought his child who was deaf and couldn't speak. Instead of Jesus just healing him like he did many times, because we see how Jesus would heal people, Jesus spoke to the spirit that was in this boy. Jesus said, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." And the boy could hear. You see, a lot of sickness is physical, but some of it is not. So when we have a showdown with the enemy, when we have a showdown at Devil Ranch, don't fear him, don't run. Face him head on. Go through a shootout with him if you have to, by using bullets, the Word of God. And that's what we have for your weapons today. Is this week, starting off the new year, besides your regular devotions, every day you can read these scriptures and you can overcome him through the Word of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and by the word of your testimony. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you today that you've given us your word and that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ, we have your word, and we have our testimony that says that we will overcome. Today, if there's someone struggling and they feel like they've been attacked by depression, they've been attacked in their body, we need to stand against it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask that you would bring healing and deliverance to them in Jesus' name. We give you praise. We ask it in your name.